Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, television's Alex Risen.
Oh, thank you so much, Dan. I appreciate it.
Mary Jo, again, is out this weekend, but our heartfelt sympathies are with her. Her mother-in-law passed, and very tough for her and her husband, John. So our sympathies with Mary Jo. She is out this weekend, but ABC 36 is Alex Risen sitting in. Got a big show today, Alex.
We always have a big show.
We always have a big show, yes, but unlike, you know, where players are told it's just another game, it's the next game on the schedule. Yeah, well, some shows are bigger than others.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it. They just are. Today's show, when you have Phil Steele on the show, it's a little bit bigger of a show than normal. Have Morgan Newton, and we have Roland Fanning. Roland Fanning is coming up first at 10:30. He is the new hire, if you haven't heard, Nick Mingione, the new UK baseball coach, filling out his staff with the final addition, and it's Roland Fanning. He's kind of rolled out these hires, you know, 1 week at a time here, where he's gone with Jim Bellinger, and then he waited a week and then or two and then brought in Todd Williams. And now this completes the staff, Roland Fanning. He's going to join us at 10:30 here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Can he be as infectious as everyone else so far on that staff?
I mean, if you read the stuff that's said about him, he is just outstanding. Infectious would be a good word to describe him, is if you believe what you read that other people feel about him.
Man, whew, so far, these guys are through the roof.
They are. So we'll see. I don't know that they're going to have the roster next season. A whole lot is gone, and several that they wanted went on to the majors, and then a few left, and so we'll see. But we'll talk to him at 10:30. Then at 11 o'clock, Phil Steele, the college football guru. Let me tell you something. I had not had his magazine yet this week. I mean, you know, since it came out like June 15th. And he releases it online. Like, you can get it on your Kindle or through iTunes, whatever, way ahead of the print version. But I had not picked it up yet. And so I just remembered, like, last night, oh, gosh, I've got to go get Phil Steele's college football preview. I had forgotten about it. It's almost like 9:30 at this point. And I had been over next to Barnes & Noble. I could have ran in there and gotten that thing, no problem, and just completely forgot. So now I'm headed home, and it's 9:30. I'm like, oh, where am I going to find this? Because you don't find a $13 football magazine
in the checkout line.
Yeah, that's not next to the Inquirer or whatever tabloids out there. And then usually, if there is a college football magazine, there might be a couple, like a Lindy's or an Athlon's or something laying around. But not the big, meaty version. Not the Bible of college football.
With shorthand and all?
Yeah. Because they just don't think that $13 is going to fly off the shelf. So it's a specialty item almost. So at 9:30... I'm not making it to Barnes & Noble or Joseph Beth. I mean, they probably close at 9 o'clock. If they were open to 10, it would have been tight anyway. I pop in Kroger on Alexandria Drive.
Okay.
Now, that particular Kroger and just the neighborhood it's in, yeah, it's a lower economic neighborhood. It's not Andover, Hamburg, you know? Nothing against it. I'm just saying that it's not. So you would think a $13 college football magazine, one they wouldn't carry it. If they did carry it, there would be a ton of them. Oh, no. I get in there, and it is like, of college football magazines at the Kroger on Alexandria. These just pristine copies of the Sporting News college football preview and Lindy's college football preview and Athlon's college football preview and somebody else's. And I'm like, oh, they're going to have Phil Steele. One copy left that had already been thumbed through 100 times. Because the spine, you know.
Because it's $13.
Yeah. The spine is bent. It's, but I don't care. At this point, I just need my copy of Phil Steele's college football preview. And so they had it. One left. It was the last one. So they had, you know, it stocked up and it went off the shelf.
That was probably me. I'm sorry. I actually just kind of sat in Kroger and just went through it time and time again.
There was a time when I couldn't wait till these things came out. Like, I would rush out and I would buy all of them. And when I was, oh, I don't know, between fourth grade and seventh grade or eighth grade, something like that, as soon as a Lindy's or an Athlon came out, I'd go get it. And then they would have full page pictures of the football stars. And I would take those out and usually hang them on my wall. So I can remember at one time I had like a Bo Jackson picture on the wall.
8.5 by 11 Bo Jackson.
Bobby Humphrey. So I wasn't like, I didn't have an allegiance to an Auburn or an Alabama, or, you know, I just liked the players, you know, the stars of the league. Because let's face it, what did Kentucky offer you on a yearly basis in the SEC?
Did they have any pictures of them? Or was that just like the, you got the quarter page spread?
Yeah, they usually didn't get the full page picture. That was like, well, we could do a full page of Kentucky, or we could do a second picture of Bo. Let's do that. Let's do another picture of Bo Jackson.
We could put Vandy and UK on the same page.
And if we put a Kentucky in there, then we got to lose Tracy Rocker. No, we're not going to do that. We got to put Tracy Rocker. Yeah, Vanderbilt and Kentucky shared a page, I think. I think you're right. No, he has actually some good stuff to say about Kentucky. He doesn't predict a bowl game necessarily, but he has them close. He doesn't rule it out either, which is about where we all are on it. But some interesting things in here that we'll get to when Phil Steele joins us, and that's at 11 o'clock, top of the hour, here in about an hour. His book is not like those books where you got the big, you know, if you're looking for pictures and stuff to rip out and hang on your wall. One, if you're listening to the show, you're probably an adult and you shouldn't do that. But two, you know, this book is more for information and less entertainment. Honestly, we both know enough about Kentucky football to write the article for either Lindy's or Athlon.
Well,
yeah,
you don't have to go on a lot of limbs on.
Well, since I've, you know, been, since I grew up and started covering UK, I just recognized that those national publications like that, when you read them, you're like, you told me nothing.
Well, they're not watching any film, let's be honest.
Yeah, and they're not talking to the coaches.
No.
The way we are, you know.
They're certainly not Phil Steele.
No, and I want to know from Phil Steele, I wonder if he'll tell us. We'll find out. But just if he does get a chance to talk to every single head coach of all the D1 teams, I'd just be interested to know if that's the case. I know he definitely talks to
the big boys. I'll say he talks to 80%.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just feel good about 80.
Like, I don't know if he talked to Mark Stoops, but I would think there's a good chance he talked to someone like maybe DJ Elliott. Maybe Eddie Graham, you know, but someone on the coaching staff where he got a lot of his information. Because he uses a lot of statistics, and good grief, the amount of statistics he's got to throw in here, like percentage of sacks that you've lost, you know?
Almost makes it not even fun.
Well, I'm sure at this point he has a software program that just pumps
cranks
it out.
The stuff out.
Yeah, but some of this stuff. But and he takes it back, let's see, 5 years as well. He goes 5 years back, and then the year coming up. It's just a good magazine. I mean, if you like college football, and it'll be here in this studio every Saturday that I'm here to reference the rest
the
of
statistics.
The
statistics.
Yeah, the rest of the schools. Well, to and reference the rest of the schools like SEC and other games that we'll be talking about. So at 11 o'clock, Phil Steele here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. And then at 11:30, former UK quarterback Morgan Newton. So good to follow up our conversation with Phil Steele with Morgan Newton.
SEC football media days next week in Alabama.
Yeah, that's coming up. It's a lot of football about to begin. I think high school football practice begins tomorrow or Monday.
Monday.
Monday. So that gets going. So then it's not long before high school football, and then you got, once SEC Media Day hits, then it's every week there's something. And then by the time fall camp arrives, you're talked out. There's no, it's so hard. I can remember like the week before fall camp begins, or the 2 weeks before, it's like, what else could I come up with? I don't know what else to ask. I don't know what else to talk about. We've done it all.
Well, you know, the TV side of things, like there's no new soundbite. You know, typically a coach, or even the coaches, have their sticking point, talking point. That's what they're going to get across during the talking season. So you hear it at SEC Football Media Day for the first time, perhaps, if you didn't hear it at the Governor's Cup luncheon. And you turn around and you hear it again at the Alumni Association lunch that's in Louisville, the kickoff banquet in Lexington. Yeah. It's just the same stuff at the podium, the same questions, because you don't have anything.
Calipari will come to the rescue.
He will.
He always does. He knows the TV and newspaper folks.
Getting thin again.
Yeah, get thin when they get starved. He's got to
say something ridiculous.
Throw us a bone. Yeah, let me unveil my plan for...
I should make Eric Lindsay cringe.
Yeah, that poor guy. Can I get a vacation? Can I get a vacation over here?
Stop talking.
Yeah. No kidding. So Morgan Newton coming up. And then another reason I wanted to bring on Morgan Newton is of what's going on in the world. He is a smart guy, and someone I think that would have a nice perspective on this from a different generation than I'm from, and a little bit younger than you, right?
Yeah, he's right in my alley.
Yeah. So, let's see, what year did Morgan graduate? Would that have been 09?
He's a little older than me. He graduated right before me.
Okay. So.
Because I graduated in 10.
So 09, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
No. Wait a second. I'm sorry. 09, it would have been his freshman year, maybe.
Was it?
I believe.
Well, that was the BBVA Compass Bowl, right?
Was that 09? Gosh, this is bad. Why don't I look in my Phil Steele College Football Preview magazine on the page for the Wildcats?
This year will have been 6 seasons. Maybe it was 10. I think it was 10.
I think 08 is when he helped Kentucky win at Georgia and at Auburn. Is that 08? And then 09 would have been the Compass Bowl, right? Well, no, Compass Bowl was the last one. So UK went to the Compass Bowl in 2010.
Yeah.
Kentucky's not been to a bowl game since 2010.
Because this would be the 6th year if they don't make it.
Yeah, and Morgan played. Hartline got suspended for that game.
That's why I remember him coming off the field.
Anyway, my point was that, you know, his perspective from that, from his generation, from someone who is going to be, I don't know, 26, 27 this year, somewhere in that age. Because it's just absolutely nuts. And it's not just been this week. I mean, this week, obviously, just tragedy after tragedy. But it's been a couple years. I mean, you go back to, you can just name them, just rattle them off. Ferguson, what happened in New York with the guy getting choked. What happened in Cleveland with the kid who had the fake handgun. Thing in Florida with the Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm.
There's 5 just off the top of my head right there. And now 2 things that happened this week that led to, you would think it has to be connected, right?
Yeah, I mean, Dallas police chief said.
Yeah.
Retaliation. Payback.
It's just a sad time. It's just a sad time. And so I've got some questions that maybe Morgan would be able to answer because he came up in the age of this transformation of how we get our information. It's changed really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always thought this and always wondered this, not just about the tragedies we're seeing to the black community, but just throughout everything, all crime. has there always been this much crime and we're just have more access to it, to know about it and see it? Or is there more now? Has it increased?
Because it's instantaneous too now, and
yeah,
it can go viral. One person shares that video and then it becomes a thing.
Exactly. Like the company I work for, Sinclair, owns, I don't know, 160 TV stations across the country. All those stations gather up their news story. Someone gathers up all the crazy news and puts it into a bundle and sends it out as viral stories. And it's the stories that get the most hits. And they're always insane. Like, mother starves child to death. You can't even make this stuff up. They're so crazy out there. Just evil, insane stuff. And so has this stuff always been going on? We just haven't had our eyes and ears on because you can't deliver it that way. It was delivered by a newspaper the day after it happened.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to think, you know, even when I was growing up, I'm just trying to think of some of the stuff. Timothy McVeigh, you know, there were still big things that happened.
Yeah.
And they've kind of, in my life, it seems like they've always been there. Just getting that information was different. I don't know about, you know, something on a smaller scale.
It's almost like we have every newspaper in the country at our fingertips. Like every journalistic enterprise throughout the country in each individual community no longer is reporting that news to its community, and then the state or people around it or the nation finding out about it and deciding it big enough to disseminate to the rest of the country or the world. And then that takes a week or two, even then, maybe sometimes, for something to get out. If it's the more trivial crime, I won't say trivial, if it's the more oddball crime and it doesn't have an effect on the nation, then no. But now you just have access to all the reports in every community about every little thing available to you on a daily basis.
And does that make it more difficult too? Because I remember, I'm sitting in the newsroom and I'm looking at Twitter for all the Dallas news and everything.
Yeah.
And you're seeing different reports, conflicting reports. So to some degree too, I feel like that's almost the negative, because if you are a reactionary type of person though, and you're seeing something and it's not even accurate, you know,
right.
Maybe you're done with it too. I'm not looking it up anything. I can't believe that, you know, X happened. And you don't even see the actual end result of, okay, here's actually what went down,
yeah,
the order of operations, you know, from start to finish. Now we know everything, and this is now the fact. You know, you just see something on Twitter from somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And they give their commentary. A lot of these bystanders are giving their commentary of, oh, they've cornered someone in a garage, when sometimes that's not even the case, or...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people are there... their own sources. I mean, they become sources,
yeah.
And then misinformation, and because what they did to put the picture out of the guy, I'm watching it live on CNN, and for a good hour and a half, that guy's face, his picture's just up there. And they're talking and discussing him as if he might have done this, and trying to find out information about this guy as if he did this. And then I'm looking on Twitter, and about that time I'm watching, there's a video on Twitter showing him walking in the video as the shooting's going on. He's clearly no part of it. And they've got, I mean, he becomes a national fugitive for a little bit there.
Probably doesn't help when you have the long gun.
No, it does not.
Draped over the shoulder.
But to the whole point of everything, it's legal.
Yeah.
Like, common sense-wise, if you're going to a protest, leave the gun at home anyway. Just, I don't care who you are, what you're doing.
Probably not a good idea to bring that big assault rifle.
Yeah, just nothing. No, not even a handgun or anything. That's a whole other can of worms. Because if it's an open carry state and it is legal for you to have... Like, I saw yesterday someone with a gun... Just a citizen in Lexington just walking down the sidewalk, gun strapped to his hip. Now, it's legal, it's fine, but now put him in a protest for a cause he believes in with a bunch of other people, facing some opposition. Now emotions get involved. Now what could have been a fist fight because someone has insulted you to the point you've boiled over and lost it and snapped. Well, why would you get in a fist fight when you have a gun at your disposal? It's right here. Why don't I just grab this and shut your mouth?
Yeah.
All right, we got to get off this. We've got to get off this. We're going to save this for 11:30 when Morgan Newton joins us. But we're going to talk football with him as well. But I do not want to get into an NRA debate here or anything like that. Let's not get too political. Let's keep it on
sports.
We won't
hit Morgan with that question.
No. What we'll do next, we'll hit up some key things that happened here just in the last 24 hours. And then at 10:30, we're going to talk to Roland Fanning, the latest hire on the UK baseball staff, fills out the staff. Nick Mingione's baseball staff is now complete with the hiring of Roland Fanning, and he'll join us here in about 10 minutes on the Dan and Mary Jo Show with Alex Risen filling in for Mary Jo here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
One of the great things about little boys and little girls is when they grow up, they want to be just like you. So to moms and dads, aunts and uncles, and grandparents everywhere, remember this. The next time you get in the car and don't buckle your seatbelt, a little boy is watching. And when you decide to text or dial and talk while driving, a little girl is watching your every move. And when you head down the road with a beer or cocktail in the car, that little person next to you is taking it all in. In this life, you have an awesome responsibility to those children who love you the most and want to be you in every way. So make a pledge today to be a good role model to these kids and their friends so that that little boy and that little girl get to grow up and be just like you. Morgan & Morgan, for our children. Offices Lexington.
Brothers Auto Sales is Central Kentucky's number one dealer of pre-owned vehicles. At Brothers Auto Sales, you'll find the most complete selection of quality pre-owned cars and trucks available today. Every vehicle comes with a Carfax report documenting every aspect of the vehicle's history. Plus, we have an A-plus rating from the BBB. Brothers Auto Sales open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. for sales. Their top-notch service department is there Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5. Brothers Auto Sales, 285 East New Circle at the corner of Bryan Station Road or on the web at brothersautosales.com. No gimmicks, no games, no high pressure. Just the best prices on quality pre-owned vehicles in Central Kentucky, period. Brothers Auto Sales.
Tune in to ESPN Sports Radio 1300 weekdays at 8 and 4 for the Central Bank Reds update with Doug Flynn all season long. Central Bank, where local service and knowledgeable bankers give you the central difference.
Summer. It's time to get out and enjoy the great outdoors. And there's no better place to get ready than Cabela's Summer Clearance. Save 40% on select sandals and water shoes, plus much more. Cabela's Summer Clearance, in-store and online at Cabela's.com.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
ABC 36 is Alex Risen sitting in for Mary Jo here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Coming up here in just a few minutes, Roland Fanning, the new UK baseball assistant coach that Nick Mingione hired. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll talk college football with the college football guru, Phil Steele. And then at 11:30, former UK QB Morgan Newton joins us. Tomorrow, Billy Hicks will be on the show.
After the big night.
Yeah. Working on Darius Miller. We'll see if we can get him. Going to try to get Darius Miller as well because both of them are going into the Kentucky High School Basketball Hall of Fame. A lot of guys going in, and gals. Carly Ormerod.
Bell.
Played at Sacred Heart and UK. She's going in. Dunbar's, George Wilson, among them. Stan Harden, Pearl Combs. A long list of great names. That's in Elizabethtown tonight is the Kentucky High School Basketball Hall of Fame induction ceremony. I think 7:30 at the State Theater. And so it'll be great to talk to Coach Hicks the morning after. Big news last night. Maybe the biggest upset in U.S. Olympic trials. Kendra Harrison doesn't qualify for the Olympics. UK's 2015 NCAA champion in the 100-meter hurdles.
American record holder.
Yeah, right? current record holder in women's 100-meter hurdles. The record holder, American record holder. She finished sixth, and sixth is not good enough. You have to be in the top three, and she was sixth. It was, I mean, she was a lock to make the team. She was, it was just a given that she was going to be not only the winner, but definitely in the Olympics.
And potentially a gold medal. I mean, I don't know around the world the other people that she would compete against in the 100-meter, but I would imagine if you're the American record holder, you've got to be in the talk for a gold medal.
Yeah, and she has had a great career. I mean, she has been phenomenal. She just, this was like her worst day ever. And that's the thing that stinks is it happens sometimes. Sometimes it happens where whatever is going on, maybe she wasn't feeling well or whatever, you know, just didn't have it. Just your body can't always. It just could be that one day it doesn't happen. But it's so heartbreaking for her knowing that she, you know, I mean, she had a shot at an Olympic gold medal, and now she doesn't even get to go to compete. So that's unfortunate for Kendra Harrison. Now, UK grad Andrew Evans qualified for the Olympics in discus. So that's one UK grad representing.
And then Tyson Game missed out, the Lexington guy.
Well, he got to the finals, though, in the 100 meter.
Yeah.
He's advanced to the finals, which are tonight, I believe, aren't they?
I thought he missed out. No?
Did he not? He might have missed out because I didn't watch last night. I thought I saw that he advanced to the finals. But
all over it.
What I do know is Mitch Barnhart looks like he's going to be here for a while. Looks like he's going to maybe, you know, retire here, possibly. I mean, he's setting up for his retirement pretty well. And this thing, he's got a contract extension that was signed back in March, but it wasn't made public until yesterday. March. This thing was signed in March. Nobody said anything about it.
Just real quiet.
Like, at those meetings, don't they have those meetings, those board meetings where they got to approve this kind of stuff and they have to make it public right then? And then a reporter is there that says, here's what happened.
And maybe the reporter's on vacay, you know?
Yeah, I thought this stuff had to be public. I mean, they just...
A lot of stuff, you know, is open record requests these days. Yeah, like, yeah, sure, it's public,
right.
But...
we're not going to publish it.
Yeah, maybe it was at the board meeting after.
I guess, yeah. I mean, something...
just sign that extra piece of paper.
There was something that happened with the University of the Cumberlands, where their president here recently. They pulled his annual retirement pay, where the board... said, no, we're not going to pay you anymore. And he had a contract signed that said, hey, you're going to pay me $400,000 a year or whatever it was to like die. And if I die before my wife does, then she gets it. And just all this stuff. And it wasn't like, as some of these people, I guess, with the college claimed, well, we didn't see this stuff. You know, so I don't know, did Capiluto and Mitch just go, hey, I got something for you. I think you're going to like it.
Just go ahead and sign it.
Yeah, just...
Some nice retention bonuses, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is... I mean, it's a good deal. You can't beat it. I mean, I'm just looking at the annual raises, just the increases. And when you're talking on the bigger scale numbers, like $730,000 a year to $765,000 a year the next year...
Percentage-wise, not... absurd.
Yeah. To $840,000 in 2019, then to $880,000 in 2020, and then the last year, $925,000 a year. So you're not thinking, it's not. Okay, just take his raise from right now to 2021, the raise that he's going to get from 730 to 925.
More money than I make in 5 years.
Right. $200,000. That's just his raise over the next 6 years.
Raises more than my pay, and
the three of us don't make.
No,
The producer, Alex, and me, we don't even make his raises. So you look at those. You can't think of a $40,000 bump in pay from one year to the next as, you know, something minor. And then the retention bonuses. Every time he stays, it goes up. It goes from
the retention bonus is what. Yeah. I don't know why, you know, because I don't have a retention bonus, then I'm angry about them. But it's like, okay, I want to stay employed too. Like, can I get a retention bonus? I like having a job.
Your retention bonus is you're welcome.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's your retention
bonus. You still have a job.
And when you feel like you don't need this one, we'll retain someone else.
Yeah, we'll retain.
And keep your salary and put it back into the budget.
Yeah. Retained.
Now, his retention bonus is $50,000 and then $75,000 and then $100,000. I mean, it's a nice deal. So it would keep Mitch Barnhart through 2022. He would be 63 by the time this deal was up. All right, we got to get to break because Roland Fanning, we need to give him a call and get him on the line here, the new UK baseball coach. We'll talk to him next on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Tonight is Pink Out the Park at Whitaker Bank Ballpark, where the legends will wear breast cancer awareness jerseys that you can win with our scratch-off raffles. The gates will open at 4 with a buffet in the stables for all breast cancer survivors and their families. Get your tickets at LexingtonLegends.com.
Tee it up at Edwin Watts Golf Shops and find your right fit. At Edwin Watts, they take customer service to a whole new level. Not only do they fit for clubs, they take pride in servicing customers throughout the entire store. They'll help you find the right shoes, bags, gloves, balls, apparel, and more. At Edwin Watts, you'll find name brand equipment at guaranteed lowest prices every day. So buy it, try it. They know you'll like it because Edwin Watts helped you find the right equipment. Visit Edwin Watts in Lexington at 3024 Richmond Road and get custom fit today. Edwin Watts, home of the 90-day, 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Never trust your appearance to just anyone. Get your swagger on at Lexington's top-rated barbershop, Prince Cuts Barbershop. Open 7 days a week, Prince Cuts Barbershop is Lexington's most upscale barbershop, and the men there give you the style you deserve. Prince Cuts has something for everyone, and you can even book your appointment online at PrinceCuts.com. Prince Cuts is not your ordinary barbershop, it's an experience. Located off Richmond Road behind Panera in front of Doubletree, Prince Cuts. Call 299-CUTS. You will get a style fit for Prince.
McLean in Nicholasville is having a job fair July 9th for full case selector and loader positions with a starting rate of $14 per hour. We look forward to seeing you in Nicholasville at our DC on Saturday, July 9th from 9 a.m. to noon at 1040 Baker Lane to apply and interview for steady full-time positions with full benefits and $14 an hour to start. That's the job fair for McLean in Nicholasville, 1040 Baker Lane, Saturday, July 9th from 9 to noon.
It's a great day to eat barbecue. My favorite thing is the cowbell. Moo!
My favorite thing is the slow-cooked meat.
Their vinegar slaw reminds me of my grandma's house in Birmingham.
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is the atmosphere and food.
I love coming to City Barbecue because I love their fries.
Their pulled chicken is filled with flavor.
I love their turkey.
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is all of the smoked meat!
My favorite thing about City Barbecue is I always leave happier than when I got here.
We see stories of fear, despair, and poverty, but they can end with courage, hope, and love. With you, be a part of writing a story that's greater than poverty. Learn how at worldvision.org.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
ABC 36 is Alex Risen filling in for Mary Jo, and we've done good by UK baseball during this transition. We've had on Coach Nick Mingione.
Yeah.
And Coach Todd Williams, and now we have on Coach Roland Fanning, who was just brought aboard to complete Mingione's staff. Good morning, Coach Fanning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, guys, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for being on. Wanted to start with something. When they make hires, for those of you who don't know, when they make hires, universities put out a release on it, and they email it to all the media and let them know, and then you kind of, you know about a press release. But what you might not know is they also put in there what they are saying about such and such person. And so it lists these quotes from all these people that they've gathered, you know, to pump up the hire. So you read through those, and the one common theme about Roland Fanning is passion and energy. I mean, you must be just a bouncing ball when you're around people, because they are like, he's super energetic and he's really passionate.
I paid all those people to say those nice things about me. That's nice. No, like I said, I'm just the type of guy, man, but whatever the day brings on, just do it with some positive energy, because being negative is not going to get you anywhere. So if you don't like something, make it better, and that's kind of how I always approach things. Be nice to people, and in return, one day someone's going to be nice to you. So like I said, just that's just kind of always been kind of how I am, always talking to people and trying to see the best in who they are. So,
now, you came over here to UK from Arkansas, Little Rock, and reading your background there, I read that when you got there, you turned the roster over. You brought in 27 guys who had never played at Arkansas, Little Rock. Of the 33 players on the roster, 27 of them had never played there before. And then you went out and won the most games in the Sun Belt Conference that Arkansas Little Rock had ever won. Kind of describe to me that situation that you came into and how that all came about.
Yeah, that was a busy year. The first year there, you know, we inherited a program that was a little down, and but had really good people around there. We, you know, our roster that first year, guys, we only had like I think 23 players on a Division I roster our first year at Little Rock. So we got a chance to go out and get some guys, and we got the right guys, kind of like Coach Smith talks about, getting the right people. And Coach Curry and Coach Raley and our staff did a nice job of targeting some guys that we thought was a good fit there for Little Rock. And give credit to the kids, because they bought into a vision and a staff that, you know, that obviously we had never done anything in Little Rock and never had done anything in Little Rock. And they came in and they came in and worked their tails off, and to their credit, they had a fantastic year being first year Division I players, and it was really fun to kind of sit back and watch those guys play. They were like I said, all the credit goes to those kids, because like I said, without those kids, obviously we don't win the games, and those guys bought into what we were you know, trying to envision, and it worked. And it did. And like I said, Coach Curry, the head coach over there, and Coach Raley, those guys are tremendous men, and they're going to be good for a long time over there.
Developing Ryan Scott, Coach. I mean, we're looking at the numbers here. Batting average goes from 103 and 191, freshman sophomore, to 328, and then kind of the crazy number, I guess, the nation best 435 there. How do you get somebody to go? I mean, obviously he's developing a little bit on his own, just, you know, and maturing from freshman to senior. But I mean, what else can you attribute to that?
Oh, Ryan Scott. I try to stay out of Ryan Scott's way every day. I try to buy a ticket. I mean, that guy got in such a zone. It was like, just buy your ticket, get a bag of popcorn and a cola, and sit there and watch him go about 2 for 3 or 3 for 3 every single day. And, you know what, Ryan Scott was a true testament of what college baseball is about development. He went to school. He was a local kid. You know, didn't have a lot of success the first 2 years. Really, the only thing we may have done to help him was give him a plan and maybe a little bit of an approach, but and a routine. We talk about routines a lot. That's something we'll talk about in our program. But he stuck to a routine. He did it every day. It was hard work. He earned it. He earned everything he got there at Little Rock, and because of that, he stayed 4 years in school and got rewarded by leading the country in batting average, and really helped carry us to having the best year in school history, and that was really good for Ryan, and credit goes to him for putting in the work. Like I said, sometimes we as coaches get too much credit, but in that instance, I just really was proud of Ryan and our team. Like I said, he did not have the year he would have had without the guys around him as well, and he knows that, but It was a great, great thing to watch. It was unbelievable, to be honest with you. And he's a great kid. He'll have a really good pro career as well.
Talking to UK assistant coach Roland Fanning here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Recruiting and development. That's what it's all about. And here at Kentucky, the northernmost, or the coldest, if you would, team in the SEC. It's hard to get guys to say no to Florida, Georgia, you know, Alabama, Auburn, LSU, South Carolina, and come to Kentucky instead. So recruiting and development, huge here at Kentucky. And we've seen it done in the past with Ryan Strebe and A.J. Reed. Colin Cowgill was, you know, a local product. But we've seen it done. Pitchers like James Paxton from Canada doing well in the majors. Do you think you have a special talent, a little something that makes you good at discovering the gems out there, the hidden gems?
I don't know if I have a special talent. I just, you gotta recruit guys that like to play in tough environments. And no matter where you go, every game you play in this league is going to be tough. Nobody can really determine the weather. Yeah, it's cold some days, but it's also cold in October in New York City at Yankee Stadium, and nobody complains about that.
Yeah.
So, like I said, anytime you want to do something tough, you're going to have to go through some tough obstacles. Like I said, we're going to continue to just try to find the right guys and the guys that want to be at Kentucky and want a chance to do something special. And at the end of the day, we'll get the guys we're supposed to get. And when we do, we'll take it one day at a time and see what happens. But I feel really good with our guys and what Coach Mann is trying to put together. I think he's got a great vision. And I'm trying to just kind of follow his lead on some things, and along with the rest of the staff. And I think we'll get the guys we're supposed to get, and I think we'll be just fine.
When you were a player coach, and you start thinking about, you know, the guys that you had that were, you know, trying to lead you, the common theme, I guess, you know, we mentioned energy and passion, for you, but it seems like this whole staff is just infectious. And I mean, if I'm on this team, it's wearing off on me. You know, I'm buying in. And sign me up, and you know, when do we get to practice, and where's my bat? And it's just one of those things that how much does that come from maybe your past experience too, from a coach that really had that type of impact on you?
Yeah, you know, I've been very fortunate to be around a lot of really, really good men in my life, from my father to coaches to guys that I've worked with, and I've seen it. You know, you see things that you like in different spots you go from guys that may be a little bit negative to guys who are really, really positive. And we all like positive reinforcement. Nobody likes to be talked to in a negative way. And I think, you know, one of the big things, as you just said, with Coach Mange, and after getting to know Coach Bellinger and Coach Williams, I mean, you're right. It's we're going to be fighting for energy around there because everybody's going to be bringing it. And that's a good thing for everybody. Because I think every time you show up to a baseball field, whether it be practice, you know, baseball is a long season sport. So, you know, there's going to be days when you want to maybe take some time off, but no way, we're not going to let that happen. I mean, that was one of the things when you know, Coach Mange came to my house and we spoke. You know, that was very, very something that I caught from him. And as you guys know, talking with him and everybody else about him, he brings it every day, and I think that's where it starts on a baseball team, is leadership, and starts from the head coach. And if I can just bring that energy as half as much as what Coach Mange brings, then I think I'll be doing okay.
You know, I think part of the passion of the UK baseball fan base, is what's happened up the road in Louisville in recent years. Whereas Louisville is also a school in this state. That you would say it's tough to recruit to, or some people would say that, tougher to recruit to than the South. And then they do well. And then you go, well, they don't play in the SEC. Well, then they move to the ACC, and they still get to a College World Series. And then you say, well, you've run out of wells. There are no more wells to say about it. And so the answer is, or the conclusion that everyone comes to is, if Louisville can do it, then Kentucky can do it.
Sure.
What do you think about that, and what do you think about what Louisville has done?
Well, when I was at Oklahoma State, I think 3 years ago, we played in a regional over there, and they have a lot of passionate fans, and that's something that I'm excited to see. We play those guys, and you know, those guys have done an outstanding job over there. There's no doubt about that. But like I said, I think for us here at Kentucky and our staff, I think we got to just make sure that we're taking care of our team, not worrying too much about what goes on outside of our foxhole, and try to keep just getting better every day. And when you look up and you worry about just the day-to-day process, I think the end result will turn into something you want. And, you know, like I said, comparing comparing each other. I'm not really in comparisons. I'm just our team. And those guys have done a great job at Louisville. They got a great thing going. There's a lot of passionate people over there. I think that's what makes college baseball great. And then being in the SEC, every year is a chance to go do something special because of the type of competitive drive this league brings out of you every day. And we go in there and we work hard and we play good baseball and we do things right on and off the field, which I think is very, very important. I think we're going to be okay, and I'm excited for the challenge and see what happens this year.
We ask every coach, about facilities to ask, because sometimes it becomes, one of those things that fans start, looking at and pointing to, why don't we have this? Why don't we have that? And I know that for everybody, you're always going to, say, well, it's the people. You can still win games. A.J. Reed played at Cliff Hagan Stadium. So it's not like it was a detriment to his career. But at the same time, how much easier potentially sometimes is it to get a kid because, hey, look, we have great people and we've got some really nice stuff too.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Facilities are great. They're nice. But, it's like having a big, nice house and the people inside of it. Like having a nice rent house and the people inside of it are bad renters. I'd rather have the people right. I'd rather have the people right and be able to take care of our guys. First-class manner, which that's something our administration and Coach Minge no doubt will do. We'll take care of our guys as good as anybody. And, it's 90-foot to first base, and any stadium you play at, 60-foot, 6 inches from throw to home plate like there is anywhere else. And if you're winning baseball games, people will love wherever you play. If you play on a sandlot field, they're going to come watch you. And like I said, I don't get too wrapped up in the facilities. I get wrapped up in the people. And trying to do things right. Because when you get the people right, things happen. And especially things happen, people will come watch you. And with this fan base and UK baseball, they get behind all their sports. And I don't think it'll be any different with UK baseball. Like I said, you can put some bleachers up and any way you want. If we're winning, doing things right, people will come support us. And that's all we ask. Come support the kids. That's what it's about. Those guys are going to earn it every day. They're going to bring out the energy in the crowd. And the crowd and the fans, they're just as important as anything else. That those guys come out and support the guys, get some home field advantage there at the Cliff, and get that thing rocking this year.
Talking to newly hired UK baseball assistant coach Roland Fanning here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Before we let you go, wanted to know if you guys have your roles clearly defined. We know Jim Bellinger is obviously pitching coach. Nick Mingione is the leader, head coach, and then you have Todd Williams and yourself. Is that kind of divided up where Coach Williams will handle more of the offense and you'll handle recruiting more, or will you guys work together on hitting, or what are your roles there?
You know what? I think as good as Coach Williams is, I don't want to get in his way. he's a stud, first rounder, no doubt about it. And I think Coach Mays wants me to recruit. I think I'm going to coach some outfielders.
Yeah,
I think I'm going to kind of be really hands-on in the short game, which is the base running and the bunting, which is something I'm very passionate about. I wasn't a great hitter, but I like to do the short game, so I think that's where it kind of runs up on.
Bunting. Kentucky needs you in bunting in the worst way, if you've watched any tape over these last few years.
we'll try to get better. We'll start working on that as soon as the practice starts. We'll start getting to work about it. But I'm excited. Look, I'm excited. I'm excited. My family's excited. My family back home's excited. There's been a lot of great, nice things being said about all of us, and I think Coach Minge has done a great job of putting the right people inside of our locker room, as far as the staff. And like I said, I think the kids have been great, and I'm just really excited what the future holds here. And like I said, it's a great time for UK baseball.
Hey, thank you very much for taking time to join us today, and we appreciate it, and best wishes going forward, and welcome to Lexington.
Hey, man, hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you guys coming out to a ball game now, all right? Don't be a stranger to the Cliff. Come see us.
All right, we'll do it. Absolutely.
Right. See you guys.
Thank you. Coach Roland Fanning, the new hire by Coach Nick Mingione, and that finishes out his staff. Jim Bellinger, the pitching coach. Todd Williams, the hitting coach. Roland Fanning, recruiting coordinator, and they're ready to rock. They're ready to go.
It's going to be bumpy at the Cliff.
It could be a little bumpy at first. Yes, absolutely. Hey, but let me tell you, when it is rocking, like you said, Florida game, Florida series.
Yeah.
This year, this past season. I was out there for that, and it was great. I mean, even Gary Henderson noticed and recognized just the kind of crowd and atmosphere that was available to them at the Cliff. It's not like the Cliff is a complete dump. It's just that compared to the other places in the SEC, it's not nearly as nice.
Taj Mahal's, Jim Patterson down the road.
Right. I mean, this is just, it's just not as nice as those places, but it can still get crowded, it can still get loud, and still be a good atmosphere for baseball.
Absolutely.
While we wait for Mitch Barnhart to build the new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. We got to get to break coming up at the top of the hour. Phil Steele will switch and talk college football coming up here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show with Alex Risen filling in for Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Started from the bottom. The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
McLean in Nicholasville is having a job fair July 9th for full case selector and loader positions with a starting rate of $14 per hour. We look forward to seeing you in Nicholasville at our DC on Saturday, July 9th from 9 a.m. to noon at 1040 Baker Lane to apply and interview for steady full-time positions with full benefits and $14 an hour to start. That's the job fair for McLean in Nicholasville, 1040 Baker Lane, Saturday, July 9th from 9 to noon.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know, before we had Roland Fanning on, we were talking about Mitch Barnhart's new contract and something that it would keep him here through 2022 and keep him here till age 63. And I think he's done a remarkable job, obviously, here at Kentucky. Rich Brooks, remember the fire or ditch Mitch and Rich? Those bumper stickers were out. They were in this town on cars all over the place. Ditch Mitch and Rich. And then Kentucky beat Georgia in football at Commonwealth Stadium. And then they went to a bowl game and won the Music City Bowl.
And what was the Brooks finally makes him happy? Wasn't that the Herald Leader headline?
Yeah.
Finally makes him happy.
Which he did. And that was Mitch Barnhart's decision to go out and get, here's a friend of mine who, I don't even think Rich was in football at the time. I think he was out of football for like a year. He had bounced around the NFL with the Rams and the Falcons, and I think maybe he was chilling and wasn't in football. And then I can remember the hire and going, what are they thinking? Are you kidding me? And then it was, well, Mitch worked at Oregon. Rich worked at Oregon.
Rich wanted Oregon.
Yes. But overall, if you would look at overall, he wasn't like the overall piece of it. He had, I guess, so many rough years there. But then he had good years, yes. But it didn't blow you away.
No.
If you lived over here, you didn't know about what he did at Oregon, really. You knew him from the Rams as just being in the NFL. I mean, nothing blew you away about it. And when it was, the Wolves were howling.
Mitch, they may have been chewing, too.
Mitch stuck to his guns, and now Rich Brooks is one of the most celebrated coaches in UK history, no doubt about it. And the most successful as far as sustained success, absolutely. Basketball.
Name your coach.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much. I mean, Kentucky basketball is going to go on no matter what. It's going to correct itself. Does not matter who's driving the ship. If you don't correct it, they'll run you out and somebody will get it corrected. You are not. You're not
Billy G in this thing.
You're not just going to be allowed to sit there and let Billy G be here for longer than 2 years. Yes, give him credit for coming back around on John Calipari, because couldn't be a more perfect fit right now. Couldn't be a better time in Kentucky. I mean, this is just one of the great times of all time in Kentucky basketball history. So you give him credit for that, definitely. But one of the bigger things, I think, is Well, there's a few things. One, definitely the football commitment. Because Rich was winning and couldn't get the money, couldn't get it. He brings in Mark Stoops and decides, with this wave, we will get what we need. We'll get the money we need to get what we need facility-wise. That's a very big thing that these facilities, I mean, with Commonwealth Stadium renovation, but that facility that they're getting ready to move into, that's a huge deal in the landscape of UK athletics as it relates to the SEC and football.
It's nice to have pretty things, right? You like good stuff to look at. I know it's people, and yeah, and if you have good people and then you win and then you get your facilities and that's part of it, but man, it certainly helps when you've already got some of that nice stuff there.
Well, it's nice to be in a new place, a new house.
It feels good.
You go tour an old rundown house and go, but we're some of the best family folks you'd ever find. We're family here now. We're family, you know.
But we got to fix the plumbing and the electric. Yeah, yeah. And every time I turn on my microwave and the blender at the same time, it trips the trips the fuse.
But the non-revenue sports is where Mitch has made his mark. The sports that, you know, nobody would care about. The sports that people would say, quit spending money on those sports and put it into football. I don't care about women's soccer. You know, there are those people for sure, and you've heard them on radio shows. They get upset about it. But now women's soccer's good, volleyball's good, softball's good, rifle's good. Who am I missing? Track and field is good. I mean, these are all non-revenue sports that Kentucky is, you know, fulfilling Mitch Barnhart's plan.
Kind of what U of L did, too, down the road. Can't always put all that money in the men's basketball program now.
No. Can't do it. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk football with the man to talk college football to, Phil Steele, here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show with ABC 36's Alex Risen on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
An advertisement. When we built ForThePeople.com, it was designed to be your consumer website, a place to go to learn about your legal rights. It was also built to protect you before an accident occurs. One of the most helpful parts of our site is warnings about unsafe drugs, products, and medical devices. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Right now, we're investigating, and in some cases, actually litigating cases involving some of these drugs you may be currently taking or have taken in the past, and likewise, certain medical devices. I invite you to visit ForThePeople.com now and from time to time to educate yourself and hopefully protect you and your family. This site was built for you, the consumer. And remember this, I'm not just a lawyer, I'm your lawyer. Morgan & Morgan, For the People.
Offices Lexington. This message has been an advertisement.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLHG Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Jim Basquell. The fourth time is Serena's charm in her fourth attempt at 22 Grand Slam titles. Serena has made history, matching Steffi Graf's women's open era record with those 22 Grand Slam championships. She beat Angelique Kerber 7-5, 6-3. It's her seventh Wimbledon title. On the men's side, Sunday's final will feature Andy Murray against Milos Raonic. Murray has won their last five matchups. Raonic becoming the first Canadian to reach a Grand Slam final and ousting the seven-time Wimbledon champ Roger Federer. U.S. Open champion Dustin Johnson has withdrawn from the Rio Games because of concerns over the Zika virus. He is the 13th player to pull out of the games. Eight of them, including world number one Jason Day, have cited Zika as the reason. From baseball, rough Friday for the New York Mets. They learn that Matt Harvey will have season-ending surgery. Also lose All-Stars Noah Syndergaard and Yoenis Cespedes, who left Friday's loss to the Nationals. Syndergaard with an arm fatigue. Cespedes with a strained right quad. The Mets dropped that game 3-1 as Steven Strasburg improved to 12-0. Jake Arrieta gave up six runs as the Pirates doubled up on the Cubs 8-4. Arrieta 4-5 at a 4.38 ERA over his last 10 starts. Yasmani Grandal had career highs, three home runs, five hits, six knocked in, and the Dodgers 10-6 win over the Padres.
The midway point of the baseball season has arrived as the game's best head to San Diego. It all starts with the Home Run Derby, Monday at 8 Eastern, followed by the All-Star Game Tuesday at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, presented by Harley-Davidson. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at @DReefer or at @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Joe Perino.
Alex Risen from ABC 36 sitting in for Mary Joe this weekend. Well, for 22 years now, this man has lived, breathed, and just engulfed himself into the world of college football to the point where he is the industry leader in information about college football. It's known as the Bible now of college football. And Phil Steele is the author of it, a tireless worker, and he joins us now here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Thank you, Phil, for making time for us.
Hey, a real pleasure. How are you gentlemen this morning?
Doing great. It's a wonderful, beautiful, sunny, blue sky day here in Lexington, Kentucky. And the Kentucky Wildcats, that kind of describes the beginning of their season the
Every
last
year.
2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, running out of the gate fast and then coming home hard and with a big storm cloud over their head by the time that game against Louisville ends.
Yeah, and I think some of it has to do with the schedule. They get the non-conference slate a little bit early, then they get to the teeth of the SEC schedule, and usually the tougher teams are down the stretch. But Kentucky's been very close to making a bowl game, and they're a team that has got that opportunity again this year. 9 starters back on offense. I like what they got at QB. Drew Barker didn't have great stats last year when he took over as a starter, but I think if he holds off Steven Johnson, he'll have a solid year. Stanley Boom Williams, a running back, and a veteran group on the offensive side. Now, defensively, they lose quite a few players from last year, but I think Stoops is doing a very good job recruiting. And if you look at the recruiting, it's really picked up under Stoops, gotten better players in there. When I look at the schedule, it goes back to the Rich Brooks philosophy, which was always take care of business against the teams you're favored against, and they would usually be favored against 5 teams, pull one upset, get to a bowl, if not a little bit better than that. When you look at Kentucky this year, I've got them favored against Southern Miss, New Mexico State, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt, both at home, and Austin Peay. That means they're one upset away from making a bowl game this year. And in the magazine, I did project them in the Liberty Bowl against West Virginia.
Well, I didn't get to that part yet.
I have read
a little bit of it for sure, and I did notice that you had Kentucky favored in 5 games. So it doesn't seem so bad to just be one upset away. If you look at last year, Kentucky against Vanderbilt, what, 3 times first and goal inside the 5 and couldn't convert? You could look at the Florida game. Had several chances to win that game against Florida. You go back.
Auburn.
They were
there. Louisville, you're up by 21.
Absolutely.
24-7 at the half against Louisville.
Well, what do you see if, I mean, you watch so much college football. Do you see anything that jumps out at you that makes the difference from a team like Kentucky being able to just get over that hump? What do you see that helps in that area?
Well, you know, you mentioned it right there at the start, Alex, is that when teams are – basically Kentucky was one play away from making a bowl game last year. They punch it in against Vanderbilt down near the goal line, and it's a different game. They have one play changes in the Auburn game. They're in a bowl game. So they are inches away. I look at a team like Nebraska last year, which finished the regular season 5-7, but they had 5 close losses, and you change one play in 5 of their games. They're an 11-2 team last year. It's inches in college football, and I like the job that Stoops is doing recruiting. I like the talent they've got laid out. They're going to need the defense to play at a stronger level than their experience level. They lost more than half of their experience on the defense. Maybe a player like Matt Elam inside. I mean, he's huge. Now, can he play every play or 2 out of every 3 plays and play with that intensity? All of a sudden, that defensive front looks a lot better. And I think Kentucky's extremely close, and they just need to get over the hump and win one of those close games this year to get there.
You know, another big thing that you mentioned, the defense, the secondary seems like it's come along. You've got Chris Westry, Derek Beatty, guys that are, you know, younger and fantastic, but then now that linebacking core all of a sudden is looking a little thin, like you mentioned up front looking a little thin, how important is it to try to find those guys, identify them quick, and hopefully that kind of shores up the front?
Yeah, and Kentucky's got maybe the largest set of cornerbacks out there, and Westry at 6'4", and Beatty at 6'3", so that's a nice place to start. You know, and you look at linebacker, they bring in a transfer like Courtney Love, who comes in from Nebraska. He was my number 40-rated linebacker out of high school, was with the scout team last year. They also have Laster coming in as a transfer at the linebacker spot from Minnesota. He was the scout team terror last year. Jordan Jones is now a sophomore. He was my number 60-rated linebacker. And redshirt Frosh Eli Brown didn't play last year. He was my number 29-rated linebacker. So you could argue that while less experienced, they might have a little more athletic talent at the linebacker spot, and that's always a good place to start.
Let's jump back to offense. And you talk about the quarterback, Drew Barker. You said you kind of like what they have there. What do you see in Drew Barker? Why are you high on his potential? Because you could argue Patrick Toles came in with the same kind of accolades and didn't pan out for him.
Yeah, and, you know, when Barker was handed the job at the end of the year, he didn't put up great stats. He only threw for 128 yards per game, hit 43% of his passes, including that woeful second half against Louisville.
Oh.
But he is 6'3", 218 pounds, looked good in the spring game. He had 12 of 16 passes, started to pull away from the number one guy. And I think when you look at Barker, he hasn't won the job yet because Steven Johnson is still there. If he can correct that hitch in his throwing motion, he'll be stronger. But I think with the supporting cast that they have, that the quarterback play will improve. And I think Barker's could be that guy. He wasn't. You don't get to be PS number 11 out of high school if you don't have some talent.
For those of you who don't know, the Phil Steele code, PS number 11 means Phil Steele ranked number 11 player out of high school quarterback. Yeah. Because this magazine, if you guys have never looked at it, you've got to look for the key if you haven't. I mean, because he writes it in shorthand, which is good because you got a lot of information you got to squeeze in there. But
You know, and if you're a casual college football fan, and you're going to pick up my magazine and you're just going to put it right back down on the shelf because it's just way too much information. But if you are a football fan or a hardcore football fan, once you get your hands on a copy, you're gonna get it every single year. It's got 3 to 4 times the amount of information. And you know, the one advantage we have over the other ones, the other guys might give you a half a column on the smaller teams. We give you 2 full pages on every team. So Appalachian State, Georgia Southern, get the same amount of coverage as USC and Oklahoma, 2 full pages, and everything's in the same spot on every page.
Well, and if you're a stats guy, I mean, I love it to see what kind of percentages, you know, what percentage of their sacks graduated or what, you know, what number of the or percentage of tackles are gone and those kind of things. I love those. But I was talking to Alex earlier and wondering, of the coaches, how many head coaches do you wind up talking to over the course of a season?
I would say it's somewhere around 75 to 80 each year. So it's something where for my conversation with the coaches, I need a full hour because we go over every single player on the entire team. I get strengths and weaknesses, make sure I have the players lined up. And it's tough for, me to line up a full hour at a time and the coaches to line up a time and then for it to match. So I'm not able to get to everybody, but the coaches that I do get to, it's a very productive conversation.
To continue along the lines with Drew Barker there, you know, he could use some help from the receiving core. And if you look at this receiving core on paper, just the athleticism, I mean, if you see him in person, the athleticism, the type of specimen these guys are, the size, the speed, the quickness. Now they just need the hands.
Yeah, that's the key. And it was the big thing last year was drop passes. I watched the spring game, drop passes again. So, I mean, it's something where it really has to get corrected this year. And that really hurts the quarterback percentage. You look at the quarterbacks last year, the two QBs combined to hit just 54.9%. Kentucky hasn't topped 60% completion since 2010. But if they can hold on to the ball, all of a sudden the quarterback's throws are turning into completions and the offense is moving. They're converting on third down. They're winning the close games. That is a big point this year. Now, they do have a new wide receiver coach in Lamar Thomas. So hopefully he can correct this problem.
Yeah, if he doesn't correct it, they're definitely going to hear about it because he's a guy who likes to talk quite a bit. getting to the defensive line, you mentioned that the linebackers may you less experienced but possibly more talented. And Matt Elam is a guy there on the defensive line that you mentioned about playing. Could he play 2 out of 3 snaps? Is there anyone else there on the defensive line that you heard about or thought really has breakout potential?
Well, you know, Courtney Miggins was a standout of the spring, and defense coordinator Elliott was very high on him this year. So he's a guy that's coming along quickly. He was a JUCO, and many times when a JUCO comes in for his first year, they struggle a little bit to get up to the speed of the game of the FBS level. And then the second year is when the JUCOs generally have their best production. So Miggins is a guy that I think can step in. He's 6'5", 285, and have some good performance at the defensive end spot. And then another guy with a good motor, Reggie Ment, up front at the defensive end spot. Now, he hasn't had the sacks. In fact, the defensive line last year only combined for 5.5 sacks. That's ridiculously low for the FBS, and 4.5 of them are gone. Ment had that lone sack from the defensive line last year, but I think he'll be more productive this year. And then there's some sophomores and true freshmen back there in the mix, but I think those and generally you do have to play 6 to 8 defensive linemen in every game, but I think Miggins and Ment will step up this year.
Well, and you flip over to the offensive line, and the comments you made in the magazine is they have 4 returning starters, 87 career starts, and you add in a Phil Steele number 26 JUCO, which is Tate Leavitt, and this is the best O-line that Stoops has fielded. Yeah, what makes you say that? What gives you that that feeling?
Well, you know, I follow write all the offensive lines for all 128 teams every year, and you go through it, and a lot of times the experience level is huge, especially on the offensive line. You know, you get the guys that are you take a young offensive line, one that's inexperienced, they usually struggle, give up some sacks, don't pave the way. But every year the offensive linemen get a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger that they're in the lineup. And this is a veteran unit, one of the more veteran units in the country. Good players up front. You got John Toth at the center spot. He's a Remington candidate. Myers at guard has been there for 2 years. And if you know, 6'4", 320 pounds, entering his third year as a starting guard. So there's decent talent there. They're very experienced, and you would expect them to improve with that type of experience level.
Talking with Phil Steele, his college football preview is out on newsstands now. You can find it. It's the Bible for college football. It really is. It has the great stuff about every team in there, including someone like Cincinnati. And what were your impressions of what Eddie Gran and Darren Henshaw were able to do at Cincinnati, and how do you feel it would be able to translate over to the SEC?
I think they're a team, Cincinnati, that, you know, they may not have the 1,500-yard rusher each year,
yeah,
but they usually go with the backfield by committee. And you look at last year, they had 3 guys in Hosie Williams, Mike Boone, and Teon Green. Those 3 guys combined for 2,200 yards rushing. Each of them had 700. So if they did have one feature back, he would have been one of the best guys in the country. As it was, you look at the leading rusher, you say 775 yards, but you had 3 guys that were up there. So I like the versatility, and they are not just a pass attack. A lot of folks look at Cincinnati, look at the passing numbers, but to have 3 running backs combined for 2,100 yards tells you're pretty strong. So Cincinnati's offense is tough to prepare for because they can attack you running the football. That's you know, if they get into a game the last 2 years, if they got into a game were able to run the football, they stuck with it. And then if they had needed to, they had the passing game there. And what I also liked about it was when Gunnar Keel went out, Hayden Moore came in and had some pretty good games. Now, we won't count the bowl game because that was pretty disastrous.
Yeah.
But I think when you look at them, the fact that they can get production out of backup quarterbacks and then get the running game going with a running back by committee, it's a highly productive offense.
Well, that sounds like the plan for Kentucky. You've got Drew Barker there, Stephen Johnson right behind him, and then Boone Williams is your lead guy, but JoJo Kemp has shown that he can carry the load, and Mike L. Horton is a tough back and get the yards between the tackles. So that sounds like it fits just right with what Eddie Grant and Darren Henshaw have planned. Well, Phil Steele, thank you so much for taking time and joining us here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, and hey, enjoy the college football season.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. And I got to tell you, it was a lot of fun talking football with you guys this morning.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Go out and get his magazine. Pick it up. It is, well, it's been out for a few weeks, so maybe if you missed it that first time, because you get excited, you think, let's go get this thing. It's out. Got to have it, you know, because you just can't wait for college football season. And then, I don't know, you get busy or whatever, and you forget that it's out there. Well, we still got a month to go, before 55 days before kickoff. And
you could probably get through half of it.
Yeah, this will really help you, too. I mean, if you're a Kentucky fan, which if you're listening to the show, you probably are. But if, for anybody you are a fan of, like anybody you follow, I mean, especially since you don't get the info here. Like if you're a fan of, oh, I don't know. Here we go. Syracuse Orangemen just happened to
page through.
Yeah. Or whatever. Florida State. You know, I mean, you've got those fan sites and stuff. But this is in-depth stuff. And with Kentucky, even with all the coverage around here on Kentucky, this still gives you a reference to go to. And like you said, if you're into pictures and all that stuff, brief little articles, it's not for you. It is just jam-packed with information that really gets down to the nitty-gritty of what's going to be the difference between winning and losing. And, man, if you listen to what he says there, as far as five games that he's got Kentucky winning, if you're counting on those, which is Austin Peay, New Mexico State, Southern Miss, South Carolina, Vanderbilt.
None of those sound crazy, right? I mean,
yeah, those are the five he's counting
on. You should be able to win those.
So now you got to win at Missouri, or you got to win at Florida, or you got to beat Louisville, or you've got to
Georgia here.
Get Georgia. You're not getting Alabama. Alabama is the one game. I do not give Kentucky any chance.
Do you give them a chance at Louisville?
Whatsoever. Yes.
You give them a chance? Just because
it's Louisville, that's it. I mean, you've seen the times that they've played, it's been a tight one. It's been a back and forth battle. I mean, Kentucky and Louisville, Kentucky just gets up for that game, and it doesn't matter. The best, you know, comes out to keep it competitive.
Why is it? Because we just talked about it with him, but why is it, you know, he even said it was, yeah, it's one play, but why is it that Kentucky never gets that play? You know, it's they're in inches, and they're one play away in Vanier, they're one play away here or there, but it never has gone for Kentucky since what? Rich Brooks.
Yeah.
That's like what LSU, yeah. Right? That went their way.
That keeps Mark Stoops up at night. I mean, gosh, you mad?
Give me one.
How many times has he just alluded to the Vanderbilt game?
I think it's got to eat away at him.
Yes.
That eats away at him.
I think he's even said that it's not going away for a long time. Like, it's going to take a bowl game, maybe victory, before he can.
I don't know if he ever. I think that's one of those games
that ulcer, like, goes down a little bit.
I think
it doesn't hurt as
bad.
Yeah,
I think it will always be there because it was such a unbelievable play that everyone missed. You know, we didn't see it. Players didn't see it. It was total systems failure there. No one saw that play, and we couldn't punch it in. It was just the perfect storm.
And that might have been where Shannon Dawson lost his job right there.
Yes.
In that game. And then that affects so much in a young program. So that's year two, right? Or was it?
Vandy last year?
Yeah. Is that year three?
That was three.
Okay, yeah. So year three. Yeah, that's right. That's right. 2-10 the first year, and then 5-7, 5-7. Okay, yeah.
Don't talk
forget
about
the 2-10. Yeah,
that first one's just footnote.
Okay, so yeah, year three, that's where it's supposed to happen anyway. Where the college coaches or any
6-6.
Yeah, I mean, high school coaches will tell you 3 years. Give me that third year. I've had them for 2 years now, but then it affects so many things. It affects recruiting because you don't have the bowl game to sell. Maybe you got Mac Jones coming to Kentucky still. Maybe Craig Yeast's son is still coming here. You do have a month of practice to develop the young players that you got. I mean, he's done such a good job recruiting, but you got to develop them, and it takes time. Give me another spring practice. I mean, that's what Rich Brooks used to say all the time. It's like another spring practice. We can get these guys out here that don't get to get the attention during the season, and we can get them ready for a spring practice. So you turn it over, and here they are in the spring, and they're even better because you had an extra session. It's just so valuable. Just that those inches against Vanderbilt were so crucial. How much it affects the rest of the what you're talking about this year is completely different. Maybe Patrick Toles doesn't transfer to Boston College. I mean, so many different things could have happened.
The what if game.
Had you had an extra half of an inch against Vanderbilt. And you had how many chances for that half of an inch? I mean, all right, so we're moving on to next season anyway. And coming up here in just a few minutes, we'll talk to former UK QB Morgan Newton, who has won some big games for Kentucky in the past. And we'll do that here coming up on the Dan and Mary Jo Show with Alex Risen sitting in for Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Mike and Mike.
John Sally, when he hosted with me, told me he was doing this push-up challenge. When he said I could do this, I was always pretty good at push-ups, so I thought, I'll try this. So I started very low. I started 50. I did 5 sets of 10. Last week, I did 150, and I can see the results, but...
Yeah, we can too.
I started having problems. I'm telling you, if I took my shirt off right now, you'd be like, Greeny, you look good.
Take it off.
But the problem is, I'm not going to do that.
Mike and Mike. Weekdays 6 to 10. On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Never trust your appearance to just anyone. At Lexington's top-rated barbershop, Prince Cuts Barbershop, it's now better than ever. They've updated, renovated, and expanded to better suit clientele. 5 flat screens and now 8 new booths. Prince Cuts Barbershop, the most talented barbers in the city, will give you the style you deserve. At Prince Cuts, you can even book your appointment online at PrinceCuts.com or give them a call at 299-CUT. Prince Cuts, not your ordinary barbershop. It's an experience. Located off Richmond Road behind Panera in front of Doubletree, Prince Cuts Barbershop. Shop where you will get a style fit for Prince. These are the nights to never
die. Father told me. Reds fans, be a part of Super Saturdays this season at Great American Ballpark. Saturday, July 16th, thanks to PNC Bank, the first 25,000 fans will receive a Zach Cozart bobblehead. Catch all the action when your Reds take on the Brewers for just $12. For tickets, call 513-381-REDS or visit Reds.com.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
I've always been amused when I see insurance commercials with TV and movie actors pitching their company like a carnival barker. They hope you trust the actor, but I'll tell you this, I don't trust any of them. I've seen too much. I've seen claims for property damage, life insurance, and disability lowballed or denied, like a bad movie. I've seen people sign away their rights after a car accident because they trusted the adjuster and didn't have a lawyer present.
Not clean hands.
Dirty hands. I've seen families' lives destroyed because these companies' goals are to take in insurance premiums and give you the short end of the stick for profit. Life is not a movie, it's real. Hire a real law firm who's fought for you right at 30 years. So please visit ForThePeople.com for more information about our firm, our results, and our lawyers. Morgan & Morgan, For the People.
Offices Lexington.
Summer. It's time to get out and enjoy the great outdoors. And there's no better place to get ready than Cabela's Summer Clearance. Save 40% on select sandals and water shoes, plus much more. Cabela's Summer Clearance, in-store and online at Cabela's.com.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Hey, we actually played that song because the fire alarm had gone off inside the building here, and just before the break, it stopped, so you don't have to listen to anything else annoying besides just me and Alex.
That's good, because three's a crowd.
Well, we were just talking to Phil Steele from the College Football Preview that's out now on, you can get it at Kroger or, you know, Barnes & Noble, Joseph Beth, wherever they sell these things. And then coming up here in just a few minutes, we will talk to Morgan Newton. And then on tomorrow's show, we'll have Billy Hicks, who is going into the Kentucky High School Basketball Hall of Fame. And so is Darius Miller and Carly Ormerod Bell and... Oh, Harry Todd. Tom Thacker, Jim Rose, Dwight Smith, George Wilson, Jeff Lamp, Bobby Turner, Coach Don Amore, Coach Randy Napier, Coach Pearl Combs, Coach Stan Harden, Gene Rhodes, Donis Butcher, and that's your list.
As you would imagine.
Ralph Richardson.
Richardson. Yeah. Reads like the who's who, as it should, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's clearly some names that we don't recognize on there. That I mean, I don't. But like Harry Todd, familiar with that name.
Napier.
Randy Napier. I've known Napier. Absolutely. Well, he's coaching, still coaching. Somebody like, I mean, I've heard of Pearl Combs.
Yes.
You know, Stan Harden, absolutely. But the ones that I've seen play, I mean, we covered Darius Miller, covered Carly Ormerod.
I played against her as a practice player.
Did you really?
Yeah. And she married Josh Bell, who was a practice player at the time.
No kidding.
Yeah. That's the Bell part.
Wow.
Yeah, my man, Josh Bell. I remember hearing about that. I was like, oh my gosh.
That's pretty cool.
Josh Bell and Carly, that was a thing? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so the Kentucky High School Basketball Hall of Fame induction ceremony at the State Theater in Elizabethtown tonight at 7:30. And we will talk to Coach Billy Hicks tomorrow. And we hope to have Darius Miller as well on the show. But Coach Hicks is at 9:30 tomorrow on the Dan and Mary Jo Show here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. ABC 36's Alex Risen is here. And we're going to talk to Morgan Newton coming up here in just a minute, the former UK quarterback. And we'll talk to him a little bit about, you know, SEC Media Days is coming up. He went to one of those, had to have gone to one of those,
you
right?
You would think.
I'm pretty sure he probably
these
did.
These days, quarterbacks don't go, though, yet, UK.
Yeah. And then we'll talk to him about what he thinks of what he's seen out of Mark Stoops and Kentucky football and some of his observations there. How about this? I mentioned that I didn't give – who gives? No one gives Kentucky any chance to win at Alabama. Well, most of the fans are just not going to – Tuscaloosa is a good road trip. That is a fun road trip to go on. Tuscaloosa is a cool college town. It is the South at its best when it comes to college football. You got Dreamland Barbecue. That stadium and the traditions, like they sing Dixieland Delight word for word. The whole stadium sings it like it's a national anthem. Yeah, it's really cool. Just the atmosphere is great. But Kentucky had to give back more than 1,000 tickets. That's the fire truck coming up the side street next to the studio.
We're good.
The fire alarm went off. We decided to stay. We shut the door as if that's going to save us.
YOLO.
And then there's...
YOLO from Josh, the producer here. Oh, man.
Such a dork. Such a dork. It's just so unfortunate. I mean...
It's true.
YOLO was like so 2 years ago. Get with it. I mean, I'm in my 40s and I know this.
Dan, I'm bringing it back, man.
He's, well,
bringing it back.
You have no authority or to bring it back.
1,000 tickets, Alabama, right? Yeah. We digress.
I'm taking the Cats over Alabama.
Well,
14-7.
Josh has got his ticket booked. I think it's part of the problem, though. When you're the top 7 or 8 rows in the end zone, and it's $73 plus $5 to mail it and a $5 fee. It's like $90 for one ticket to sit
way up
at the
there.
Very top of a 100,000 plus stadium.
Yeah, it's
damn good to watch my team get blown out.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I can't blame any Kentucky fan for not traveling down there for that one.
That's a steep ticket price.
Yes, it is. Well, it's Alabama football.
That's right.
And give them back, we'll take the money. Alabama has no problem doing that. Because they can get it. I mean, the market says that that's what they can get. So that's what they can get. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking to former UK QB Morgan Newton here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show with ABC 36's Alex Risen on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
Recently, a new client called me and started by saying, "I really need your help, but I'm just a nobody." Those words stunned me, and I immediately called him back, and we're now helping him and his family after a terrible accident. Everybody who comes to our firm at their time of need is a somebody. I grew up poor, but my grandmother was like a queen to us. At Morgan & Morgan, our goal is to level the playing field for you and your family at your time of need. The insurance company has unlimited money and resources. You need a firm who can fight them toe-to-toe. For right at 30 years, we have fought them in courtrooms throughout America. Our results speak for themselves. And always remember this, everybody is a somebody, and nobody is a nobody. Visit forthepeople.com to learn about our firm, Morgan & Morgan, for the people.
Offices Lexington.
Ride in your truck with style, on the road, off the road. That's the lifted life. Let your truck work for you, on the farm, on the job site. That's the lifted life. Take your truck out to play, at the lake, on the trail. That's the lifted life. Your truck is a part of you, whether it's for style, work, or play. So why not have the best of the best? Lucky's Off-Road is the truck accessories authority for getting you that lifted life. Lucky's installs everything you need to pull that boat, conquer that mountain, or function on that construction site. Suspension lifts, wheels and tires, winches, trailer hitches, toolboxes, bed covers, floor mats, step bars, bed liners, ladder racks, brush guards, vent visors, LED light bars, audio, video, you name it. Lucky's Off-Road has got it. Visit our showroom. Call Lucky's Off-Road at 859-299-4411 or get a quote at luckysoffroad.com today. Why? Because you deserve that lifted life.
I was out mowing my lawn last weekend, and that's when I realized that even a small engine can have a big problem. That didn't sound good. So I went to Moses's, a one-stop shop for all your lawn equipment needs. From small engine repair to outdoor power equipment sales, Moses's does it all. And with experienced factory-trained techs, they have a reputation for fixing it right at 511 North Broadway, across from Broadway Mini Mart in Georgetown. Moses's, your local outdoor power experts that promise great service after every sale.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Joe on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
ABC 36 is Alex Risen sitting in for Mary Jo this weekend. I'm Dan Reefer. Hit us up on Twitter at Alex Risen, at DRIEFFER for me. And you can listen live anytime, WLXG.com. Also the app, which is great. The app is the simplest app of apps.
You just open, listen.
Yes, that's it. You just touch it and it provides the sound of what's being aired on WLXG at that moment. Sports Radio 1300. You just go onto iTunes or, what is it, Google Play? Is that the other one?
Whatever the kids are using these days.
You just go on there, type in WLXG, download it, that's it. That's the easiest way to do it. That's the easiest way to listen. But it is also on the TuneIn.
TuneIn app?
Yeah, the TuneIn app. And then, as I said, WLXG.com. And then Josh, our producer here, he'll put up the podcast of this thing where you can hear Roland Fanning, the new UK baseball assistant coach, and Phil Steele. And now you'll be able to hear Morgan Newton because he joins us here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Good morning, Morgan.
Good morning. How's it going?
Doing well, doing well. How are you?
I can't complain. I'm glad that it's not raining like it's been the last few days here in Lexington.
Absolutely. You get to get some stuff done around the yard. Do you have yard work to do?
I don't. We're actually in we're in between houses right now. We're staying in an apartment.
Ah.
So certainly trying times in the Newton household.
Well, you have to get more space, I assume, right?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think the apartment style living bothered my wife a lot more than it bothered me. Just because, I mean, like you just mentioned, I don't have to do any yard work.
Yes.
The mail, I really don't go to the mail because somebody has to get in the car to go to the mail. So, I mean, if anybody could do it. So it's pretty easy. Not much upkeep, house upkeep.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've had an apartment, and I did value those things. But that was before I had, two little kids that needed room to get out of my hair and and a couple dogs and all that good stuff. But hey, we brought you on here to talk a little football, and we had Phil Steele on here just in this last segment. And one of the things he brought up is that Kentucky's quarterbacks have not completed better than 60% of their passes since 2010. And and that's something that, jumps out at you. 2010, it was 65.1%. And then in 2009, that was 55.2%. 2009, was that your freshman year?
That was a freshman in the fall of 2009.
Yeah. Okay. So then 2010, 11, 12, 13. Yeah. So talk a little bit about that. Just how big of a deal you think that is for Drew Barker and for Steven Johnson?
Well, I think it depends on the volume of passes that are thrown. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately, if you're throwing the ball a ton of times and you're throwing a low percentage, then it probably means that you're having a lot of plays where the ball's not moving much. I think in this case, the last couple years, it seems like, the ball's kind of been in the air a lot. But again, how many plays do you have in plays where you're not getting anything done, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's ultimately the concern. Obviously, you want to throw 60-70% if possible, especially in a lot of these new offenses with short throws.
Now, you watch, right? I mean, you pay close attention to UK. I mean, especially since you're still in Lexington, right?
Yeah. I try to catch the games if I can.
Yeah. Now, do you get upset watching them?
It's hard to really say. I think at times you get a little frustrated. But I think also, you remember being in those places, and you remember how tough it can be at times to get stuff done. So, it's just what you try to do as a fan that's played, and then I venture in the fandom.
Yeah.
You just try to keep everything in perspective and realize there's a lot going on out there. There's a lot of moving parts. And everybody's got to be going in the same direction to have successful plays. So,
what's the biggest thing, Morgan, that you see from the current offense and the setup? Obviously, you've got, Eddie Grant and Darren Henshaw in now, but what's the one thing that seems to plague, you the most? If you're the quarterback, obviously there's the drop passes. Sometimes it seems like the perfect storm, which you had, some of that too. If it's one thing that doesn't work, next play it's something else that doesn't work, and, that kind of messes everything up. But what is it that you see?
Well, ultimately, I think football can be broken down, and it's pretty simple. It's who wins up front. I think a lot of times, it seems like it's easy to pay attention to some of the flashier positions, the quarterbacks, the receivers, the running backs, the linebackers that are making a ton of tackles, corners. Kentucky's got a big, pretty corner now. I think he's a young guy, Westry.
Yeah.
But, at the end of the day, you're going to win and lose games up front. Offensive line, defensive line, and I think that's probably, if I can look at maybe our roster or look at our team, I'd say that's probably where we're losing a lot of the battle, and where we probably lost them historically.
Because if you want to win up front, then you have more time to throw the ball, and then that completion percentage probably goes up. But
it just makes life easier, right? Because you don't have to. It allows for more mistakes, right? It allows for, your running backs, they don't have to break a tackle in the backfield, then, they can run with more positive yard play. And I think, Kentucky's been plagued with negative yardage plays a lot, and that hurts, being this behind the down and distance guys that we play week in and week out.
Talking with Morgan Newton, the former UK QB, here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Morgan, put yourself back in the shoes of the quarterback right now, and these drops. We could have had a touchdown against Florida that might have won the game. Big time situations where the drops just seem to snowball things, drive killers, scoring.
Yep.
How do you handle that situation? Do you say anything at all? Do you bring attention to it? Do you get after them? How do you handle it as the quarterback, as a leader?
Well, it depends on your personnel, really, and it depends on the type of people that you're playing with. You know, the way that you might, in my time, the way you might speak to LaRod King is differently than you might speak to Randall Cobb, or the way you might speak to Chris Matthews is differently than the way you might speak with a Matt Rohr, for example.
Yeah.
So it absolutely depends on the person. But, you know, I guess the biggest frustration, it seems like, for quarterbacks and oftentimes coaches is it takes a lot to get to that point where, you know, you have a successful pass play and, you know, you miss it with a drop, right? You know, the play gets schemed up. You know, you get the offensive line protecting. You get the running backs in protection. The quarterback makes the right read or wrong read, whatever it is, and, you know, you might have a drop. Now, you know, you can't be remiss to think that there's times where, you know, the quarterback throws a bad throw. And, you know, the receivers can get on the quarterback for the same reason, or, you know, for making a mistake and coaches or whatever. So at the end of the day, that's why I said all 11 people, guys got to be going in the same direction to have a successful play.
As a former player, let me ask you how this would affect you. Let's say, you know, Dorian Baker was one of the guys that fans were on about dropping passes. You'd hear some boos and stuff like that. But, you know, Shannon Dawson would defend him. And, coaches definitely got to stand up for their players. I feel like you just have to have that relationship. But let's say instead of having him go back out there, they put him down and they don't let him play because he's had, I don't know, two or three drops in a row or something like that. How do you think that affects a guy? I mean, how should a coach deal with it? He's going to defend him for sure, but what if he benches him instead?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the beauty of coaching, right? As a coach, you got to know what buttons to push.
Yeah.
And I don't know Dorian. He seems like a good guy. Seems like a great athlete. Maybe one of the better athletes we've had at receiver in a long time. But ultimately, you know, the coach's job is to get the most out of them. And leaders on the offense, it's their job to get the most out of those guys. So, you know, that's what it comes down to, is that the coach believes sitting them down is going to get them more focused, or going to, you know, strike a chord with them somewhere that's going to make them, you know, make some more plays. You know, that's what they got away. But also, it's like, who do you put behind them? You put in a guy that's inferior from a talent perspective and can't even get to the point where Dorian's got to drop a ball, right? So you got to consider all those things.
You know, another situation as far as players go and locker room and the mindset of guys and how they might react was the Boone Williams situation, where he seemed to say, you know, you're not going to me enough. I look at somebody like DeMarcus Cousins, where he'll explain away his frustrations, outbursts, any type of things. As I'm trying to win, and this is my vision of winning, and that's what this is about. Now, what did you think of the situation with Boom last year? Does it come across as being selfish or being frustrated with not, you know, thinking that he's the right answer to something and not getting his number called? Just what did you think of that situation? How does a team respond to something like that?
Yeah, well, again, you know, I'm not in that locker room.
Right,
today.
Right.
So, you know, I'm speaking from strictly being the outside looking in.
But as a former player, as a player, because we haven't.
And I think it's the same case. It's like, it depends on how, you know, what's led up to it. It depends on the conversations during. And, it, you know, sometimes you got to take a step back and take an unbiased look at the situation and think, well, hell, maybe the guy's right, right? Maybe we need to give him the ball more.
Yeah.
But I think it very much so depends. Now, granted, you know, you're going to want your guys to handle situations better, but sometimes it may take Boom to really have a fit and, you know, get upset, to strike a chord with the coaching staff or quarterbacks or whatever, whoever is deciding what plays are getting run. So, you know, I think oftentimes, you know, being on the outside looking in, there's a lot of emotions that happen in the locker room. And there's a lot of hard work and frustration that gets built up, and you got some guys that think certain plays should be run and certain plays shouldn't be run, philosophy. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's pretty obvious Boone's one of the, you know, one of the more exciting players on the offense, and he's a lot of good things happen when he has the ball in his hand. And hey, we got to put the ball in his hand.
Yeah. Hey, Morgan. We really appreciate you on the – well, you know, I did want to do – I asked you that I wanted to get into this, but we've got – we don't have a lot of time left, but I did want to switch a little bit because of what's gone on this week and what really has gone on these last couple of years.
Oh, wow.
And just the way we're able to see these things now. I think without the cell phone, maybe this stuff does happen, but we just didn't see it. How was it, I don't know, for you in Mount Carmel growing up, and how has your perception changed when you see these things, these events, where a black man is clearly just at the absolute mercy of the police officer, and if the police officer panics, he dies. And then it takes something like Dallas for the reaction to seem bigger, you know, and it seems more important, maybe.
Yeah. It's been a really crazy week. Really starting with Independence Day, right? Because Independence Day is a time where we celebrate the country's history and really just the overall independence. And then, you know, ironically, you have some of the situations that happened this week to some of our brothers and sisters in this country, and it's just really a sad deal all around for the families of the victims, whether they be police officers or they be, you know, some of the citizens in Louisiana and Minnesota. I know for me personally, and this is one of those things you could talk about. I could talk about for hours.
Yeah.
Right? But you know, for me personally, it's I was fortunate enough to have parents that kind of groomed us to know some of the conscious and biases and things that are going on out there in the world. And I grew up in a part of Indianapolis that was predominantly black for a while, and then I moved to Carmel, which was kind of the flip opposite. So
there's
a lot of things to learn. But, you know, it's just really sad, and it's unfortunate that there's so many people that seem to be fearful of one another, people that come from different races and backgrounds and things. And I think ultimately, until we can get to a place where, you know, everybody takes the time and really gets to know each other and understand just each other's backgrounds and perspectives, I think we got to expect for more unrest, for the unrest to continue.
Yeah, it just seems like we're headed in such a bad direction where all it can do is make one side more fearful and hateful of the other side. When I don't know if you feel this way, Morgan, but I feel like the vast majority of our country thinks this stuff is wrong. Anyway, white or black, doesn't matter. Asian, Mexican, whatever. This is not good, and there isn't like a divide right down the middle and half is on this side and half is on this side. I just don't feel that way, or at least I don't know those people that talk that way.
Right. I don't either, man. I don't either. I got a lot of my best friend in this world is white, right? And, you know, we have a type of relationship where, I mean, literally anything I have is his and anything he has is mine. And we just have that type of bond and relationship. But it's taken time. I mean, I think, you know, when I was growing up and in school, when that relationship was developing, my parents were always trying to protect us and make sure we understood any and every dynamic that was going on outside of our household.
Yeah.
So, you know, it took time to build up the trust. and realize that, you know, we're dealing with good people. So I think that's just what it's got to require. It's got to require more folks reaching out of their, you know, their usual, their usual crowds and developing relationships with people of all different types of races, backgrounds, ethnicities, whatever. You know, you gotta look further than a skin color or a socioeconomic background, you know, whatever it might be. You gotta take another step and really get to know folks.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more with this. And then, like you said, Morgan, we could talk about this for hours, really.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We just got off on football there, and then I kind of forgot that I meant to bring this up, but we appreciate you taking time out for us and giving us your perspective and also insights on football. So thanks, man, and hey, enjoy the weekend.
It was a pleasure, guys. Take care.
See you, Morgan.
Morgan Newton here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. ABC 36's Alex Risen filling in. He'll be back tomorrow as well. We'll take a break, and we'll be back after this on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
If I could hire one firm in America to represent my family or friends for injuries, a medical mistake, or for a claim against an insurance company, I would hire us, hands down. No firm in America has tried more personal injury cases in the last 5 years than us. I challenge you to find one. You won't. Insurance companies know who we are and, more importantly, what our results are. The tobacco companies have battled us in the courtroom, and we have verdicts to prove it of $90 million, $40 million, and $18 million for our clients. Black farmers receive $1.2 billion for compensation for years of discrimination against them as a result of our efforts. BP Oil knows who we are as we represent thousands of business owners. Years of verdicts at trial and the desire and the money to fight for justice for our clients is why I would hire us. No brag, just fact. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
Never trust your appearance to just anyone. Get your swagger on at Lexington's top-rated barbershop, Prince Cuts Barbershop. Open 7 days a week, Prince Cuts Barbershop is Lexington's most upscale barbershop, and the men there give you the style you deserve. Prince Cuts has something for everyone, and you can even book your appointment online at princecuts.com. Prince Cuts is not your ordinary barbershop, it's an experience. Located off Richmond Road behind Panera in front of Doubletree, Prince Cuts. Call 299-CUTS. You will get a style fit for Prince.
Tonight is Pink Out the Park at Whitaker Bank Ballpark, where the legends will wear breast cancer awareness jerseys that you can win with our scratch-off raffles. The gates will open at 4 with a buffet in the stables for all breast cancer survivors and their families. Get your tickets at LexingtonLegends.com.
Summer. It's time to get out and enjoy the great outdoors. And there's no better place to get ready than Cabela's Summer Clearance. Save 40% on select sandals and water shoes, plus much more. Cabela's Summer Clearance, in-store and online at Cabela's.com.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Joe on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Well, we got Alex Risen for ABC 36 here, and Quaker State 400 at the Kentucky Speedway coming up at 7:30 this evening. Kevin Harvick is on the pole for the Sprint Cup race, and that was owner points because qualifying got washed out.
It did.
Big storm there yesterday.
They can't catch a consistent break.
No.
Kyle Busch, perhaps the favorite, wrecked in the truck series, won the Xfinity race last night in overtime, green-white checker flag. Of course, won it last year.
Yeah, and I guess he dominated. I didn't get to watch it, but from what I understand, he
led basically every lap.
Right, and then it came down to the green-white checkered finish, but he do not want to see Kyle Busch win.
Not a Kyle Busch fan?
Tonight. Oh, my God.
Well, he and Keselowski, as you know, are the predominant favorites. They together have led almost every single lap. Yeah. So,
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Junior win.
Like a little
but Logano, wouldn't mind seeing him win. Keselowski, it doesn't bother me so much. Kyle Busch, though, absolutely cannot stand okay. Kyle Busch at all. He is just seems like the worst guy in the world. that's
tell us how you really feel.
That's how I feel about that. Hey, did you see the Mega Millions jackpot? The ticket was sold in Indiana. $540 million jackpot. And that ticket was sold in Indiana. It doesn't specify where in Indiana. So it could have been just right across the river.
Yeah.
In New Albany. But we don't know. We don't know. But the California Lottery tweeted the news early this morning. Congrats to one Mega Millions jackpot winner in Indiana.
Oh, well.
One me. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow with Billy Hicks after his induction ceremony into the Kentucky High School Basketball Hall of Fame tonight. Hopefully, we'll have Darius Miller as well. Join us 9 to 11 tomorrow for the Dan and Mary Joe Show right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
KD to Golden State. Rosillo and Cannell react.
People are mad, and it's really simple. It's really simple math. There are 29.